Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Jamie Kennedy. Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. Type in the Matthew Aaron Show in the search bar. You can join our thousands of followers over there. We give you a ton of updates over there. Thank you to everyone that's been following us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We've been doing great, great numbers over there. And once again, thank you to our new home, Anchor.fm. We're really happy to be there as we approach 300 episodes. Jamie Kennedy has a new special out on Tubi. We are super excited to talk to him today. I watched the special. It is hilarious. It's called Stupid Smart. and spelled S-T-O-O-P-I-D. And it has one of the funniest lines I've ever heard in stand-up history. I'm wondering if I should share that line or not. If it's Whoa. Like, are there spoilers? Okay, so there's a bit, and I encourage you to listen to the whole bit because it's brilliant. Where Jamie talks about being friends with women and how relationships are different with men and women. And, you know, we've heard this bit, you know, done in different ways many times, but I think Jamie had the best line I've ever heard when it comes to relationship bits. And you were talking about how women will sometimes say, I think the sex will get in the way of our friendship. And Jamie says, I think our friendship will get in the way of us having sex. I hope I didn't damage the line too much there, but it was, I died. I had to pause the special, Jamie.
Dude, I love, thank you, man. It's so sweet of you. And yeah, it's almost what it is. It's a bit, she says, I think sex is getting in the way of our friendship. And I says, I think our friendship is going to get in the way of our sex.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, it was so good, dude. I'm really, really happy to have you on. I really enjoyed the special. Everyone could go see it on Tubi TV right now, T-U-B-I TV, if you have Xbox, if you have, I mean, basically any streaming service, you have Tubi. And they have a lot of great movies on there, but they also have stand-up comedy on there. And Jamie's special is probably, I'm guessing, their number one special right now. I got to imagine it's a hot thing over there. Jamie set up his special in the back of a bowling alley. In Orange County, is that correct?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you get in where you fit in, right? And I was, you know, a lot of specials are big and super high production, but
yeah,
I felt like I was going to do this one myself. I'm not going to wait around for someone to make it. So I was like, I want to make it. So we did it ourselves, and it was great. I mean, this little club is so cool, and it is in the back of a bowling alley, but it's a really good club, but I had to say that
yeah.
joke. And, yeah, my career is being reset, like the pins. I don't know. And I was just like, we got to shoot it there, so it's intimate, you know, and it's just a really good vibe. So that's why I shot it.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who did stand-up for many years before I started directing and acting, and I just haven't had a ton of time, but you never know. Obviously, you've gotten into it, and you could always go back to it, but I loved the vibe of being in a bowling alley because this is where a lot of comics get their wings, you know? This is where you do the rough work, and if you can make the back of a bowling alley laugh, you could make any comedy club in America laugh, and I would say you did a really good job at making people laugh. This crowd was really good for this special.
Thank you, man. Yeah, they were. That's why I loved it. They don't get offended down there, and you can go to a lot of places, and they were great.
No, it's Orange County. Nothing offends them except when you call them out on racism or on COVID. Then they get offended. Jamie, like, how is it right now? I've talked to, like, Brad Sherwood. I've talked to a bunch of other comedians right now, Jay Washington, a bunch of friends of mine. And I'm just, we're trying to, like, figure out the landscape right now. Are you going to be able to tour anytime soon? I have to assume you're going to continue doing Stupid Smart on the road, or at least bits from it, and people can come see you live. But what's the plan?
In terms of that question, I feel like I've done the special to death, and I've done so many bits, and I have enough. I have enough now for a new special, I think. Although I probably have to adjust it since the world has just got such a reset. You gotta comment on what's going on, but I feel that. So I've done this special. This special is shaped by America. You know what I mean? In other parts of the world. In terms of going out, I mean, I was just thinking about it today. I mean, there's a couple places that are open, some places in Florida, a little bit, maybe in Orange County, possibly. But
I think I heard Arizona. I think Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona, a little bit of Texas. But, you know, my stuff has been rescheduled, and I don't know, man. I think everything's such a pivot, you know, and I'm not dying to go out right now, and I feel that maybe I should just take a little break and let it build up and do more stuff online, because I don't know what the landscape is, and I just feel like I'm getting back on the horse, and there's just so much content right now, and I feel like I gotta just like kind of bunker in and like create new stuff or you know, figure out what I want to do next. But I'm not dying to go out.
Okay, so you're not dying to go out. Do you have? But there has to be something that's great, though, about being able to put out a comedy special like this, and Tubi being able to put out an amp. You can put it on Amazon. You can put it on iTunes. It kind of just gives you the freedom of. It's not a TV pilot. You don't know if it's going to go or not. This, you know, is going. Like, you're like, I'm going to go out. I'm going to film it. We're going to edit it. We're going to put it up. How does that feel compared to being an actor? Like, what's the difference when you know you can just go out and sell your show?
It's amazing. I mean, I love to be able to create something, conceive of something, execute something, and then put it out. It's like, get it done. You know what I mean? And hopefully people consume it, you know? And I think that I've done a lot, and I feel like now with all these platforms, like you're saying, Tubi is our start, and they're an amazing partner, and then eventually it's going to go on Amazon, Vudu, Crackle, all of these over-the-top things, you know, they call OTTs, and so it'll be on 15 different platforms, and people can find you everywhere. So as long as you can drive traffic to it, that's what I want to do. I want to really put my stuff out and see if my numbers will change, you know, because... Yeah. That's the good news. Let people kind of build up that they miss you and they haven't seen you in a while, and then you really kind of tour.
Yeah.
But it's a great time to be able to distribute stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know exactly what you're talking about, because I felt that when I saw Ad Astra, and I was with a buddy of mine, and the first thing we loved the film. We were the audience, you could tell, was definitely torn. It, like, half of us loved it, half of us were like, what was that? We loved it. But when we left the theater, he turned to me and he goes, I really miss Jamie Kennedy. And it was like I don't think he went anywhere. I don't think if you saw Tremors 4, I believe I had you on the show for one of the Tremors, and you know, but it's nice to be able to get out there and have Jamie Kennedy's own special. I think that's true.
I mean, it's like, it's basically like you do stuff, and unless it's like a Marvel movie right now,
yeah,
kind of, you know, monopolized. It's not the same world, you know. Little movies like Scream are harder to get made, and you know, thrillers like Enemy of the State and Bowfinger. I mean, so many. It's either, you know, even movie theaters are, you know, where are they at right now? I mean, the world is so different, but it's a time where if you're not in the biggest thing, people are like, where are you? But you know, it's just about. I was just saying this today, it's just about vying for eyeballs, and there is so much content.
Yeah.
I mean, that is hard to break through. So I guess the only thing I can do is just find my fans, and hopefully they consume my stuff, and I have my little fiefdom, you know what I mean? Because there is so much.
Yeah, and it's great to partner up with someone like Tubi, who will put you on the front page, who will make sure people see that your special just came out. It's right there for people's eyes, and you're not buried.
Yeah.
I think some of the time independent filmmakers put their stuff on Amazon, and you have to tell people, type it in, search, look for it. I mean, Tubi's, they're very open about, hey, we got Jamie Kennedy's new special, check it out.
Yeah, they're going to be huge. You know what I mean? A lot of people know them, and it's like Netflix, but for free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they are very much, I mean, I have a relationship with them, so they'll be like, hey, we text or whatever. And they're still young enough where they're going to be a disruptor. And hopefully I got in at the right time, and I'll keep working with them.
Yeah, they're basically comparing it to the 90s and the aughts, it's like they're kind of like a new cable channel. You know, they're free. You can watch them.
Totally.
You can either pay for no ads, or you can sit. And by the way, I have found some classic movies you can't find anywhere other than Tubi, that really hard to find movies. And, you know, the ads are harmless, too. They're like 30 seconds. You're not sitting through much, even doing the free model.
Yeah, you're so right about that. It really is. It's not an annoying ad. It's usually a good ad.
Yeah.
And it's quick. It's like a 30-second in the beginning and a 30-second in the middle, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's barely there. So it's really, you're right. It's totally really good.
Yeah, I think it's a great option. One of my movies is on there. I'm kind of Tubi's kind of under the radar. Like, I think they're going to be something too. I'm with you on that. Let's talk about, like, are you continuing to do some acting now? I mean, obviously no one's really acting right this moment, but do you have anything lined up for the future, or is it back to, you know, hitting the pavement once COVID calms down?
I have a movie in the can called Crabs in the Bucket. Mm-hmm. And it was Jeremy Piven and Taryn Manning and
wow.
Bruce Dern and
oh
yeah,
wow!
I did that, and I, you know, I had another movie come out. I don't know, maybe a year and a half. It was Tremors 6. I did a lot of that, and
nice.
I had another movie I was about to start in Vegas, an independent kind of dramedy, and we got moved. So right now, I mean, everything is kind of up in the air. So I'm always acting, you know, I do TV and movies, and just try to go out, but. I had this one movie that I was ready to do, but it got pushed. So, but I mean, like I said, like, I think it's a good time to, it's a reset, you know what I mean? And see where we're all at.
Yeah. Know? I mean, I just kind of enjoy, to compliment you. I mean, ever since I was 15, you've been in almost like every great movie I've seen. I mean, I don't know if people recall, but Romeo and Juliet, Scream, of course, As Good as It Gets, Bowfinger, which I think is one of the funniest, most underrated funny movie like ever. It's incredible. And you're great in that one. You play, I believe you're the cameraman in that one. You're the guy that runs the camera. Three Kings. And then, of course, we talk about this all the time, my friends and I. Enemy of the State, which has, like, the greatest cast of all time. Like, low-key.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like I grew up just, man, Jamie Kennedy's always been in my life. So it's great to have you do these specials and be at the forefront again. We love seeing you in that kind of role.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, that was a special time when those movies were made. And I know there's a lot of good movies being made now, but it was a different time where you could go and just really different movies in different genres. And they were taking chances, you know, and
yeah.
I'm not saying Hollywood doesn't take chances now, but I mean, there's a lot more remakes than there are originals, and it was a beautiful time to be part of stuff like that. And hopefully the pricing and the you know, the economics work, so they'll make the content right for what platform they're going. If it's a movie, then they
yeah.
have to spend a lot of money. If it's streaming, they'll mix so people can get that type of content, because not everything is just going to be, I love Marvel movies as much as the next person. But, you know, it's nice to go to a movie theater and watch, like, an Enemy of the State or Three Kings. And I feel those are less now being made.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, when I watch this special of yours, I feel like, boy, I got to imagine the biggest challenge for Jamie, and of course you've been on the road for years doing this, but was the biggest challenge when you go from acting back to doing stand-up is, okay, everyone knows you've been in these great movies, you have a fan base, they think you're great, but now you got to bring good material. Because, like, if you're not great, you're going to lose them anyway. Because you know what I'm talking about. You've seen some actors do stand-up at the Laugh Factory, I'm sure, or at the Comedy Store. And I'm not smiting them at all. It's really difficult. It's really hard. But you can tell when they don't have, like, A-game material that you're kind of like, oh, you're going to lose your audience.
I mean, yeah, you definitely want to... Hey, you know, deliver when people know who you are and know that you're a name and they're like, okay, what's this guy got? So that's what I say. You know, I have baggage when I go up because people may know me from movies,
yeah,
and not so much stand-up, and only hardcore comedy fans of mine will know my stand-up. And it's like, oh, you know, what's this guy about? So you got to really bring it even more because, you know, people have these expectations. So... I mean, they're two different skill sets. Acting is totally different than doing stand-up. And, you just have to separate those two. But, I mean, you know, it's not hard to get back on the horse, but the material, yeah, you always have to be writing, and that's really hard.
Well, I want people to know, a friend of mine over at the Improv, he works there, and he told me when I did some stand-up there, he told me the nicest stand-up they've ever had at the Improv was you. That's what he said. He said you were the nicest guy. He said you were the nicest guy. It was at the Improv, and he said you were the nicest stand-up they've ever had.
Wait, what club? Which club is this?
I want to say it was the Improv in Schaumburg in Illinois.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, they're like my family. That's like one of the few clubs that. That's so sweet that they say that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, they're like my family now. I mean, I've been going there since 2007, since the club opened, and we've had some amazing weekends, and I've had some weekends where I've been very difficult, and also I've had, like I did when I was doing Heckler, it was in the paper, and then people started heckling me, and then I was mad that they were heckling me, and they're like, well, you're in the paper today talking about it, and it was, like, so funny, and I was like, you're right, so, but then to say that, that's so beautiful, because they are, like, you know, like, one of the few places that I consider family, like, I can call them, and that's nice, you know, I love, that's, what's one of my homes, that's the mall.
Well, I
the
wasn't,
right out there
it is, it's the mall.
Julius.
Yeah, that's right. I, you know, it didn't shock me too much because I saw your birthday video the other day, and I'm like, how many friends can this guy have?
It was sweet. That made me feel really nice because we're in a weird time.
Yeah.
And 50, and it's a big B-day, and a lot of people jumped on. I had no idea. My assistant, the most beautiful person, she just did this whole thing.
It was amazing. Beautiful. It was really, really amazing and sweet.
I got emo in it, man. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. I mean, dude, I'm just really impressed with this special. So how do you write as a stand-up? Do you have a method to this? Do you sit down and write it out, or is this stuff that you collect as you go along? You know, I think a lot of writers, it's like you go on a walk and you're like, oh, you know, that's funny. I'll write it down. How is it for you?
It's basically like I'll have an idea and then I will start going on stage and just kind of riffing.
You
know what I mean? And I'll try to do it at a later spot so crowds aren't expecting, you know, a material. And then my friend will, I'll anytime something gets a laugh, I'll remember it, I'll write it down. And sometimes you get lucky right away. You get a rant going, you have four or five pretty good laughs. You're like, damn, I could build off that. And then you kind of build out a bit, you know, and then you, hunks lead into other hunks, and then you know I talk to my friend, and people just give me tags. Some of my best tags in my special were from just other comics. I mean, it's probably 10 comics that just give me a tag here and a tag here without even asking. They're just like, yo, try this. And it's great, you know? So I'm like, that's awesome. So, you know, this one guy I really collaborate with, my friend Flip, who's on it, and he'll help me shape some stuff. But in a nutshell, it's like starts as a rant and then see what the audience likes and then try to form it.
Yeah.
But the good news is that you have enough material now that you don't have to start a whole new hour. Like, half of this special is already, I shot 90 minutes and I pared it down to 60. So I already have 30. And since it's been about a year since I shot the special, I got another 20. So I'm about 10 minutes out from another new special.
That's great.
So I would like to do that. And then I would have to figure it out. So it's because it took me so long to get it going. So, but you know, you'd like to get to a place where you do have nothing. And then, instead of just putting out another one, you have to like live and experience things and be passionate. You have to, the way to do stand-up is something really has to annoy you.
I know. I know what you're talking about. I've had my friends call me about it, and they're like, what happened to social distancing? And I'm like, well, I guess kind of no lives matter, too. I don't know which one it is right now.
Well, you got to be careful.
Yeah, right. See, you say that, you're in trouble.
The wrong way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. You know what I always wanted to ask you, and I regretted not asking you this when you came on for Heckler, and I've not been able to bump into you or anything, was I always wanted to know, because it's such an iconic role and it's such a great series, the Scream series, but you were like the fan favorite in Scream. How did you find out you were going to die in that film? Did they let you know ahead of time, or did you just read the script and find out, and what were your feelings on it?
I was just happy to be in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was happy to be in another series. And I couldn't believe that my character went and got another Scream. Like, I didn't know.
You know,
I think, you know, people said that it was planned to do multiple Screams. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. So, of course, I was excited to be in it. And then, like, I knew that the character really resonated. So I was like, wow, this is going to be awesome. And then I felt like, oh, no. Oh, no. And I was reading it. I was like, oh, no. And then I see that he, like, gets killed. And I was like, no, no. So I was pretty bummed out. I was pretty, pretty bummed out. But, I mean, that's what makes Scream great, you know, they kill characters that you love.
Yeah, I think we were all bummed out. Everyone loved Randy. But, you know, a lot of people forget that you're also a creator, not just with your stand-up, but you had the Jamie Kennedy Experience. And then, of course, Malibu's Most Wanted, which is like a huge cult hit. Is there possibly another indie film in your future or something where you write it and do another comedy like that?
Oh yeah, I got a few movies, you know, written, and it's just a matter of trying to get them made. You know what I mean? Trying to do it at the right price, and then. Like, getting the money is a little hard, but it's not that hard. Raising a couple million dollars isn't bad. It has to be made totally independently.
Yeah.
I can't have other people give me their creative input on things that I really care about, because it's just like I don't want it. You know, I know what I want to say. But the issue is not so much making it. It's about really getting it distributed. So
yeah.
It's about finding the right place that will put it out, you know, and that's the hardest thing right now. Because there are a lot of places, but you just don't want to put it where someone is gonna find it far in the cloud too. I mean, there's all these apps are amazing, but you have to like have the right budget. Like, my special is perfect for these apps because the budget wasn't that high. But if you do a $2 million movie, you got to figure out where you're gonna put it. But
yeah,
definitely have some stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm super jealous of you, man. Ad Astra was great. Brad Pitt. Though I heard Brad quit smoking the Dube, so that's kind of a bummer. I always had this dream I'd smoke once with Brad, but that's not happening, I guess. But it was great to see you in that, and I'm glad you're working so much, man. And I'm really, really happy for Stupid Smart, because it's really fucking funny.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. I really do. And thanks, man, for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, absolutely, dude. And thanks for doing it. Thanks for coming on. I think people love to hear from you. So thank you.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, best to you, Jamie. And we hope to see you down the road, man.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Talk to you. Wait, when this is done, will you tell me?
Yeah.